Honorable members on both sides of the House, fellow St. Lucians, constituents of Castries South East, it is with great pleasure that I stand here tonight to deliberate on this budget and the discussions that have taken place for almost two full days in this honorable house. I must first of all say thanks to God for my life spent thus far, for his goodness towards me, and for the opportunity given to me to serve my people of this country. I must also express on behalf of the Adventist community, special thanks to my PM and colleagues who agreed that the first sitting of the House or the throne speech would have been done on Monday rather than Tuesday, so that we would not have to be in the House past sunset on Friday debating this budget. I would not be, and that is why I thank my Prime Minister and colleagues for understanding in this situation and recognizing the Adventist community in following and not having to be debating budget on Friday evening when everybody wants to know what is happening in the country. To the staff, especially the PS in the Ministry of Communications and Works, the staff of the Transport Division, the Electrical Division, the Technical Services Department, the Met Services Post Office, the Potholing Crew, the Denry Workshop, the Viewport Branch of the Ministry, and all other persons in one way or the other affiliated to the Ministry of Communications and Works, I express special thanks for your support and your work together with me during this past year. I will follow the lead of the Honorable Member for Mikud North and deal with the areas of my constituency first, because the last time in this Honorable House, I did not touch anything pertaining to Castries South East. But the people of Castries South East know that they have a representative who would work in their best interest. Madam Speaker, I must say it's a pleasure walking through the constituency, even at this point in time, and the reception that I get from the people whom I represent. Among the projects I want them to be aware of, we have done some land acquisition in the Badney area, and a multi-purpose court is soon to begin immediately after this budget debate. To the teachers and the students of the Odsa Primary School, I must assure them that I have spoken to the Minister of Education, because the block on the building, or the additional piece to the building of the school, which was not being undertaken by the previous administration, and within 3 weeks of coming into office, we had to make a determination, get the tenders in, or else the financing would not have been available. The financing was available from the previous administration, but for some reason, they were not going through with the project. But today this project is completed and a nice four-story building has been added to the Otsa Primary School. To the residents of Mac, who since the time of the former minister Gregory Avril waited for a bridge in an area where they had to walk down into the river, and succeeding representatives came about and never delivered, that we were able to do within the first 100 days in office. I must also inform you, Madam Speaker, that through the assistance from the Taiwanese, a computer has been placed in each of the schools within my constituency. And it is sad when the teacher from Tiroche has to drive up to Forestier, the principal, to print something on a computer, and we talk about the education system and what we need to do, because some of these schools have no computers. But today, they have brand new computers that they can use and make it a lot easier. A computer lab has been built in Forestier. Assistance came from Tropical Shipping and also the Taiwanese for the establishment of this computer lab, and the computers are on the way and soon will be in there. I must also express thanks to the Monroe College for contribution of 5 computers placed at the Bexar Primary School, starting off also another computer lab in there. There's a road development taking place in Chopin and in Labe, and a water project financed by the Taiwanese for the residents of Crownlands, who have more than 50 homes, and everybody must run 20 lengths of half-inch pipe up to the hill to get water. That will soon be something of the past, because the project is ongoing and the connections have been paid for all of these people, so that as soon as the pipes are run, they would be connected right on the main pipe. In the area of sporting activities, the sponsorship, I sponsored the Castries South Sports Council football competition. And it's a joint venture. It's a joint community venture, because the Sports Council represents both Castries South and Castries Southeast. And I was happy to have been a part of it. In Cul-de-Sac, the PRF is undertaking the project of a footbridge. In Tuapiton, there are negotiations for some land where we would establish either a court or a playing field, whichever one is best suited. Site identification has been made in MAC for the establishment of a new playing field. I must tell you, the community of MAC has no public buildings, no community center, no school, no playing area. And I can assure them that very soon all transactions would be completed and there would be a brand new playing field in MAC for the residents to have activities of cricket and football. Lighting of the Wavin Poisson and Bexar Court and fencing of the Bexar Primary School is well on stream. In all the developments we have spoken about, Madam Speaker, in this country, even when you hear the towns and village councils and what is happening, I usually tell my colleagues, why isn't Castries Southeast recognized in terms of a council so that we can get some assistance? But nevertheless, we fall right in the middle, and so we want to develop Bexar as the crossroads of St. Lucia's development, joining the north and the south, or the central business district with the southern business district together. The settlement issues, since the residents of Belle, since they were removed from the Millet area and brought down to Belle in the new housing development, there are some issues with ownership of the houses and the lands down there and what payments should be made. These are issues that I am working on to resolve. And in Capitol Hill, a donation of a plot of land has been made by a developer where we are going to put a park and a children's play area. The upgrade of the cul-de-sac playing field. There is an acquisition of some land in Forestier for a playing field. And we are working on a court by the old school in Lakwa. There's a piece of land there which belongs to the church that we have been working closely with them to try and get it rectified. Tiroche Geno, land for the cemetery has been identified by the development committee, and that falls within the constituency of the parliamentary rep for Castries East. But since this constituency's boundary with the road, I am sure we can work together in seeing to it that these projects are well implemented for the benefit of both sides of the road, which are the constituencies that the two of us represent. In terms of the STEP program, we have received a lot of criticism. I always said during the campaign, Madam Speaker, that I believe that the funds of STEP could have been better used, better utilized. And what I believe with the food crisis, which the Honorable Leader of the Opposition gave a very good account of what the situation is. And I must say, though we have disagreed on a lot of things, I agreed with him on the position that we need to take for the security of food for the people of this country in light of the world situation. And so I am working on a program trying to get some funds to be able to pay at least 200 farmers $1,000 each to go into food production. Because I've always said that if some of the funding that was used for the STEP program could be utilized in a manner where it would bring returns to these people. So you give them an initial capital injection where if they decide they are going to plant dashin or yams or plantain or whatever it is, take care of it, and afterwards they would be the ones to reap the benefits from it. And so these are just a few of the things, the main areas of concentration within my constituency during this period. We have heard a lot, Madam Speaker, from both sides of the House. We have heard criticisms. I must tell you, I've heard a lot about the Taiwanese and their contribution towards what is happening in this country. What I know is that what they are doing touches the lives of the ordinary St. Lucians. Other persons may have benefited from China, Madam Speaker, but nobody knows. Nobody knows what they were doing and how they were doing it. But this one is clear that whatever is being done for the benefit of the people. And what I'm proud of is that no monies have been paid to any minister in any government towards programs that are being done in the various constituencies. It is a constituency project. It is a project identified by the community or the parliamentary representative. Proposals are made, sent to them, and they deal directly with the contractors and the implementation of these projects. So when we talk about transparency and accountability, this is what it is. This is not about whether persons have deposited money in a fund and whether persons have died and they are trying to find who is the legitimate owner of these funds. We are open and we are clear on what we are doing. On the issues raised about the development bank, it is quite interesting that in the budget address of 2001-2002, Madam Speaker, now apparently these pages are not numbered, still in the financial sector, and I'm quoting from, I guess it's a document of this Honorable House, it says, still in the financial sector, the St. Lucia Development Bank increased its net profits from $2.56 million in 1998 to $4.08 million in 2000. This represents a 60% improvement in just 2 years. It, re- its return on capital has more than doubled during this period, and so has its returns on equity. You see, Madam Speaker, when it is convenient for us, when it is convenient for us, we say that things are not good. But it is clear that from the former Prime Minister, that the Development Bank, the report shows that the Development Bank was doing well. But when they were ready to close the Development Bank, Madam Speaker, all of a sudden, we got a lengthy lecture in this house about why development banks do not work. But back in 2000, it could have doubled its profits. And the Development Bank was not a profit per se oriented bank. It was a bank designed to help in the development of this country. Let me move on quickly, Madam Speaker. We have heard so much about tourism and the decline of tourism in 2007. I had to ask my colleague, did we host the World Cup in 2007? I was not sure, because here was a situation where $56 million was borrowed in preparation for the World Cup, and we know about the legacy and what would come after. But the net returns on what was expected during the hosting of these games, and I hope that the Honorable Member, Parliamentary Representative for Grosley, will expound on this a little more. But from the figures, that I have, it looked like we spent $56 million in preparation, and we got about $900,000 in returns from tickets. And you would have to say whether these figures are accurate or not. But if World Cup and the investment was as good as it was claimed to have been, why did tourism decline in 2007? We should have had so many people here during World Cup that this should have been our best year in the tourism sector. But you know what happened to us? Because of the hype that was created and the expected big turnout for World Cup, other persons who are not cricket fans opted not to come to St. Lucia during that period of time, leaving us in a worse situation than we were before. The woes of the financial situation of this country did not happen overnight, Madam Speaker. If there was so much going on, even if this government had done nothing, the growth rate should have been better. Because with everything we attempt to do, it was started by them. But everything that did not happen, they are not responsible for it, Madam Speaker. But that is what it is all about. We talk about role players, elected and selected. Let me remind the opposition that when I walked into a particular ministry and I saw an elected member sitting under a step, his desk, his office was under the step in the Williams building with a wooden desk and two chairs. I will not mention names, Honorable Prime Minister. And not an elected, but a selected member who I was going up to see was sitting in his air-conditioned office upstairs. But today, for political gain, we want to talk about elected and selected. Conveniently, you see, the issues are serious, Madam Speaker. And I will not waste precious time talking about all of the nonsense. Is that word permitted, Madam Speaker? Which had happened in the past. I will just move on. We were asked to give an account of our ministries and our performance. And I will tell you, I am proud to say that the Ministry of Communications and Work executed its work program. Let me tell you, in one of the budget addresses, very early by the leader of the opposition, he promised transparency and accountability, Mr. Speaker. But when questions were asked, they said, "I will answer in my own time." And let me remind this honorable house, few questions were asked of me and the Prime Minister on the basis of direct awards. During the last 10 months of the Labour administration, they gave $25 million worth of direct awards in contracts. Over $25 million. In 9 months, in the last 9 months, during the first 10 months of this administration, we gave $14 million worth of direct awards. But apparently, some people do not understand, Mr. Speaker. They forgot what they did when they were in there, Mr. Speaker. They forgot what they did. But I want to let them know, Mr. Speaker, that we will account and we will give accurate account. No matter how they try to find cost overruns on this phase of the Castries-Grozile Highway, they just cannot find it, Mr. Speaker. They spoke about the other layer of asphalt that was put. Who paid for it? If the contractor made a mistake, he would pay for it, not the government of St. Lucia. And so if it was not part of the terms of his contract and he put an additional 2 inches of asphalt, it is to the benefit of the people of St. Lucia because it is at his cost, not at a cost to the government. And so when we talk about what happened, completion of the East Coast Road Phase 2, they talk about the debt that we have incurred. Of course we have to incur debt. When the contractor was given the contract on East Coast Road, Mr. Speaker, a $32 million contract for the first phase of East Coast Road development. When I came into office, Mr. Speaker, he had received $28 million out of the $32 million with only 49.7% of the contract completed, with less than $4 million available on the original contract sum. And if they want to find out, I've always told the people at my ministry, the opposition is entitled to know what is happening. They can come to the ministry and I don't even have to give the directive. The information will be available to them because there is nothing to hide in the running of the Ministry of Communications and Works. And so I had to twist the arm of the contractor, Mr. Speaker, to tell him you are not getting any more money until you can begin to deliver on the project. Because we had a situation where if the contractor had turned his back and walked away, he would have walked away with a substantial amount of money and a fair amount, more than half of the work not completed. To make matters worse, Mr. Speaker, you know, I didn't intend to talk about cost overruns. But you know, when people know what happened, they preempt you. You're the chien di sakipani bon pie kafwe duvan. So they preempted, Mr. Speaker, that I would have spoken about cost overruns. You know, but here's the situation. A contractor was less than 50% complete at the time when the project should have been completed, have received about 90% of the money, but two addendums were created to the same, added to the same contract to give him an additional $16 million for the phase from Canals to Viewfort. And then I don't know how Sanssouci became part of East Coast, but from Sanssouci Bridge to Fulasho became a part of the East Coast Road. To further compound it, he was given another contract to pave the road to the Prime Minister's official residence. All of that being given when he has not completed the first phase of his contract. And yet at the same time, Mr. Speaker, he's been given more money. To date, I must tell you, he has delivered. And all the engineers in my ministry can tell you, Mr. Speaker, that I didn't have any issues with the contractor because he understood with a change of government, he had to measure up. And when he sat down in the meeting, I told him, you have one chance to prove yourself. Yes, I'm speaking on the budget, honorable member. Because the situation, I am speaking about the project implementation of my ministry. But while a $42 million contract was given, and another $16 million provision was made in the estimate for only $28 million, so we have to find another $20 million to pay for the additional work and the completion of the contract. So $20 million of our last budget was to pay for the project that was not catered for under the previous budget. And so, that is prudent financial management by the other side. That is prudent financial management. You know, create the situation, take the loan, and leave it for somebody else to pay. Mr. Deputy Speaker, there's a story in the Bible which speaks about Esther. And you know, the situation, what is interesting about it is, in those days, if you had to go before the king without being summoned, it was a matter of life and death. And Esther was contemplating while Mordecai spoke to her and said, look here, do you think if you sit there and do nothing about the situation, that your life will be spared too? And Esther said, if I perish, I perish. But I will go before the king. And she went before the king and succeeded in rescuing the Jewish nation. The context is, she asked, Mordecai asked her, do you know whether you have come to the house or to the palace for such a time as this? Well, I believe that we have come to this honorable house for a time like this. Now, we may not have performed to the expectations of others, but I can say that through the Ministry of Communications and Works, I am sure the records will show that we have saved this government and the people of St. Lucia millions of dollars. Given the history of what has happened in the past. And Mr. Deputy Speaker, I can make this a document of the House. It's an audit report. Let me just tell you, when we talk about what happened, RDP 3 or RDP 1 and 2,
on a point of order, Mr. Speaker. And this is going to be challenging for you. But I want you to bear with me a few minutes. There are two issues here. Firstly, Order 35, Suborder 2, and the Chair's sense of fair play. I turn to Order 35, Suborder 2. It says, reference shall not be made to any matter on which a judicial decision is pending in such a way as might, in the opinion of the chair, prejudice the interests of the parties thereto. Now, Mr. Deputy Speaker.
Mr. Political Opposition Leader, are you on a point of order? You must refer to one matter pertaining to the particular point of order. If you are referring to two distinct matters, I will not allow it.
No, I am only referring to one matter. I don't know what you are speaking about, Mr. Deputy Speaker. I am only speaking to one matter, which is that he's about to read an audit report. And I'm pointing out to you the significance of the order.
Proceed quickly.
Thank you. Her Excellency the Governor General announced a commission of inquiry, quote-unquote, for maladministration. As you know, you don't debate Her Excellency's statement. The Prime Minister reinforces that matter and indicates that there'll be a commission of inquiry. The fact is, a commission of inquiry is a legal matter. It interferes with the rights of individuals. It has the potential to prejudice parties. And because it is a judicial process, because you have to ascertain facts, it becomes sub judice, and the member cannot comment on it. One.
I would like to guide you, since I'm in the chair. Mr. Leader of the Opposition, I believe when you refer to matters of judicial purposes, the announcement of a commission of inquiry has to go through a process before it can have the powers of carrying out certain actions. Since it has been announced, it does not mean that matters putting into a public audit cannot be mentioned in the House.
No, Mr. Deputy Speaker, please. Don't cause a rancor in this House.
No, I will not allow you to stop them, to interject the member and stop the member on referring to the audit.
You have not heard the completed point of order, Mr. Deputy Speaker. How can you rule when you have not heard the completed point of order?
No, because you refer...
You have to understand there has to be fair play.
No.
The honourable member cannot speak about a report that is to be the subject of
can I
but the comments,
a fair case.
The
you are prejudicing the rights of members.
No.
Furthermore, that report is not in the House. It hasn't been circulated. That report was made available since December last year. And the Prime Minister kept this report. What he should have done is to circulate this report for this sitting of the House and make it available to members. Then he is free to talk about it. That's the reality.
Mr. Honourable Leader of the Opposition, Honourable Leader of the Opposition, I think the second point has some validity in it, some merit in it. But on the first count, that's the reason why I told you that you had, on the first count, I would allow the member from Castries Southeast. On the second point, I would like to find out from the member from Castries Southeast whether the report which he has available to him has been made a document, the audit report has been available to all members and made a document of the House. Allow me in the chair, honorable Leader of the Opposition. Again, I'm asking, is the report you have with you, has it been circulated, or is it a report?
I withdraw the report.
Okay, thank you. The report needs to be circulated among members before it can be of public of our scrutiny.
Mr. Speaker, I realize I may have touched the nerve of a few people in this honorable house. But we are going to move on. Mr. Deputy Speaker, on the issues of direct purchase, on the question that the honorable leader of the opposition sent the question to me. Dewey was given a direct award of over $2 million for supervision on the Castries growth from Shock to VG roundabout. This section of the road, over $2 million direct award as consultant. But from my own runnings of the Ministry of Communications and Works, it is clear to me, Mr. Speaker, it is clear to me, Mr. Deputy Speaker, that this same Dewey, who was awarded contract by the previous government, contracts in the sum of about $7 million, ended up getting payments in excess of $21 million. That's how many percentage cost overruns on consultancy. When a consultant can get in excess of $21 million for a job awarded for about $7 million, and we want to come to this honorable house and talk about the finances of this country. And let me tell you further, this same consultant was paying government staff. Staff of the Ministry of Communications and Works was being paid by the consultant and getting a 10% interest for paying staff of Ministry of Communications and Works. Further to that, when they were building the roads and they relocated people, they rented the houses for the people. That after they rented the houses, the government had to refund them with a 10% interest. Rented offices, bought office furniture for the ministry and charged 10% interest on the furniture. And this $21 million that they got did not include the vehicles and the house they stayed in. That was a separate package where the ministry had to provide them with transport and maintenance of transport. And we're talking about in these difficult times, the honorable members on the opposite side, breathing down my throat, telling me you need to fix the roads. I know we need to fix the roads. But do you know how many roads this $21 million could fix? But what you don't want to hear, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Deputy Speaker, they will hear. And so we move on.
Member for Sufre.
We move on.
Member for Sufre.
You know, as we look
member, at... Member for Sufre.
Madam, Mr. Deputy Speaker, I rise on a point of order. I recall yesterday evening when the Honorable Leader of the Opposition made certain allegations about the purchase of two separate vehicles. The then Prime Minister stood on a point of order and requested the evidence. I stand on the same motion that we cannot allow the minister to run away with what he says without the evidence. Thank you.
Member from Sufre, you spoke in very open terms. You need to be very specific when you raise a point of order. Are you, when you refer to presenting documents, you need to say about what item, whatever. I guess the Prime Minister around that time raised the point of order to a specific issue which was pertaining to the vehicles. But you are just saying that you need to produce evidence. I do not know what specific matters are you talking about to produce the evidence. If you furnish me with the specific evidence, then I can proceed to give a verdict on.
Very well, Mr. Deputy Speaker. The specific evidence you want is what was just said by the honorable member, and that is that a company called Dewey, under the management of the St. Lucia Labour Party, was awarded a contract of $7 million, but instead received $21 million. I am asking for the evidence to substantiate that claim.
What is he reading
from? What is he coming from?
Honorable member from Cashville South East, would you like to provide the evidence, or would you like to stop on the matter and continue?
Mr. Speaker, I will present the evidence at a later date.
Okay, well, you could proceed on another subject.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, on the implementation of the work program of the Ministry of Communications and Works, I must make it clear to honorable members of this House that we delivered more than 98% of our recurrence. And based on the finances allocated, we did about 70% of our capital projects based on what we received. And some of the projects are still ongoing. So by the time the projects are completed, and the honorable member for Castries East would appreciate that there are two projects ongoing after the budget cycle ended on March 31st, still ongoing. So it means that we would have executed on both counts within the Ministry of Communications and Works more than our fair share of the budget. So when I hear the members opposite talk about the issue of whether we can deliver, yes, this government can deliver, and this ministry can deliver on the matters of communications, work, transport, and public utilities. And so I move on. In the past, Mr. Deputy Speaker, we were told that when people from outside give you money, you have no control over the spending of the money. In my very first negotiations, I can prove that those who have said this have been wrong. In negotiating with the Kuwaitis for a project which started under the previous administration, 6 of the 12 roads to be done, only local contractors are allowed to tender on these 6 roads because of representation we did when the Kuwaitis came down here. We said, look here, you are going to spend money, we appreciate it, but our people must get a fair share of the work in this country. And so they agreed that 6 of the 12 roads, Mr. Deputy Speaker, only local contractors can tender on it. The other 6, both local and the international contractors, will have the liberty of tendering on it. That is looking out for the well-being of our people in St. Lucia. And further, show the evidence why we had Josin, and we had Gada Khan, and we had the Chinese, because we were told is the French financing and is this person financing, so we have no control over who got the jobs. All the jobs I'm talking about, Anslery, Castries Drainage, the pond, all of it, the evidence is there, Mr. Deputy Speaker, to show that we did not have adequate representation at the time, or the representation was to benefit a few. They talk about being accountable. Castries Grosley Highway, shop. Union to Grosley, we have given the figures. The project was given at $6.8 million. So far we have paid $5.4 million on the project. On the section of the road from Shock Roundabout, a project awarded at the cost of just over $25 million. The final figure to date is at a cost of $30,230,571.01. I will not tell you we will give you the figures at some later date, Mr. Deputy Speaker. I promise this Honorable House that we are going to be accountable for what we did during our time in office, and the evidence is not there. I will not do like Rochamel and say, I'll talk to you when I'm ready, or about the Soufre Viewport Road to say, when I'm ready, I will tell you. As soon as it becomes available, Madam Speaker, we make it available to the people of St. Lucia, because we are the custodians of the interest of the people of this country, which we did not have before, Madam Speaker. On what, in terms of buildings, refurbishment, you know, Madam Speaker, it is very interesting that they said they wanted to hear what we did on the last budget, and now I'm telling them what we did. They are saying to me, okay, I'll just give you a bulk figure. $2,384,000 was spent in refurbishment. And they talk so much about police stations and what they have done in police stations. But as I went to the drug squad and we saw the quarters in which these police officers had to live, when I went there for the last interview, when I went to do the visit there, Madam Speaker, what they told me is now the only way we can describe this place is as a palace compared to what we used to have before. That is a government with conscience who understands the importance of the work of the people. Cabinet, Madam Speaker, has taken a decision that all contracts, all investors coming into this country and spending in excess of $50 million, 40% of the work must be subcontracted to locals. And this is a condition tied in with whatever concessions which will be given to these investors. And contracts or investments below.
Honourable Member Mukasiti, you yes. have a point of order.
Yes, Madam Speaker. Thank you very much. Madam Speaker, in terms of incentives, I know incentives are usually published as essays in the Gazette. I have seen, in fact, I have a copy of one incentive, of one essay for a company called Roebuck Industries. I have not seen in any of these essays any provision for what the minister is talking about. If the minister is speaking about essays, it ought to be published.
So you're seeking elucidation
on how can an investor give, and how can you give an incentive? Incentives are published in statutory instruments, and I've not seen one statutory instrument of that provision.
Are you,
Madam Speaker? This is the policy position of this government, this present administration, and I must make it clear to this.
So it's a policy, but the incentives have not yet been given. Is that what you're saying?
The incentives that were given prior to our entry into office, there were certain incentives that was in place before that we could not interfere with because there were arrangements prior to that. Madam Speaker, I can further explain. While the other administration was selling properties in St. Lucia, this government has taken a policy position that we are going to put in the properties that are owned by the state as equity into the businesses. Any property that belongs to the state, I have made it clear, Madam Speaker, that this is a policy position of this government, that we are not going to continue to sell the assets of this country to foreign investment. We are going to put it in as equity for the benefit of the people of this country. Because the aim of this government, the aim of this administration, is that when these businesses are up and running, Madam Speaker, the shares that the government own in these businesses, we will be able to sell back to the people, and so they would benefit and become shareholders and not spectators to the development that is taking place in this country. And those who know it would know that this is a long-term policy of United Workers Party, Madam Speaker, because way back when the brewery was established, the evidence is there that the government did not sell the land. They put it in as equity. And that is the policy on which this government is going to build this country, so that we are not going to be in a situation where we only become spectators and see other people coming and taking over the affairs of this country. And so, Madam Speaker, I know it is difficult for the members opposite to understand what we are attempting to do. Because it was a matter of just giving and giving. But we are giving with a conscience. I heard them. Oh, that's a wonderful subject, Madam Speaker. You know, the Magwatut arrangement, Madam Speaker, I had forgotten about it, would have been another Rochamel. Because the arrangement was, we had to deliver the property within a specific time, and failure. And after the property was sold below price. After the property, Madam Speaker, was sold below price. It was agreed that they would clear the site, and if the site was not cleared by a particular time to make the property available,
I cannot allow the member to engage in such excesses. The property he's talking about was the subject of four separate appraisals, independent valuations. How on earth does the honorable member arrive that the property was sold below price when he had before him four independent appraisals? I mean, obviously he's misleading the House, because he's refusing to tell the House that the former government insisted on four independent appraisals. I mean, the honorable member must check his excesses, after all.
Honorable Minister.
Yes, Madam Speaker. If after 1 year, the property could fetch a price, and that is what we got paid for it, in excess of $10 million, Madam Speaker, for the same property that was appraised for $8 million, and with no clearing of the site included. You see, Madam Speaker, this is the situation, working in the interest of the people of St. Lucia. And I know this is an attempt to disrupt my presentation, but let me remind the members opposite, Madam Speaker, we have a straight course ahead of us, and that is where we are moving. You know, we talk about growth in this country. We talk about growth and prudential financial management. This is a matter that we must deal with. Prudent financial management. Thank you for the correction. There are two issues, Madam Speaker, two main issues that I would like to touch on. You have a situation where you have national debt and you have central government debt. You have national debt, which includes debts of the statutory corporations, and the loans taken by WASCO, and I may remind this Honorable House that when they removed WASA and put WASCO and doubled the price of water and promised us that everything would be all right, WASCO is in debt in excess of $125 million today. Madam Speaker, in excess of 125 million after the price was doubled. So, when they talk about prudent financial management, let's look at it. Central government debt in 1996 was just in excess of $245 million, Madam Speaker. In 1997, it was $275 million. It was 17% of GDP. And that is what the Honorable Member was referring to when he spoke about Sir John and how he managed the economy. Because he would be sure that we do not run into a situation where debt was higher than what we could afford. Don't hang your hat where your hand cannot reach.
Honorable Member, you have 5 more minutes to make your presentation.
Madam Speaker, I beg to invoke the provisions of Standing Order 32, subordinate 10, to allow the Honourable Member from Catrice South East an additional 30 minutes within which to complete his presentation.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 32.10 be invoked to allow the Minister for Communications an additional 30 minutes within which to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as of that opinion say aye, as many as of a contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. You may proceed, Honourable Member.
Madam Speaker, as I continue, I know I'm not an economist and I'm not an accountant, but I know how to make money. Yes. I know how to take $5 and make it make $10. Because all my life I've not worked for people. I've worked for myself. Self-made person. In terms of my accomplishments. So I may not know all your fancy descriptions, but I know when $5 can earn $10. And so I know that the debt of this country has risen substantially from 1997, where central government debt to GDP stood at 17%. In 2007, it stands at 63%. The situation, Madam Speaker, is one where the debt situation in St. Lucia has gone so bad. And that is why I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the budget too. And how much it is going to help to bring us back to a level that is acceptable. I am concerned. Don't think that I don't share the concerns of members opposite. But we did not get here overnight, Madam Speaker. And so I will break it down in the terms that I understand. And in the terms that the people on the streets will understand. So se muna mak ekbek so ekbadni, Madam Speaker, yo kay sab ki situation pe ya da jodia. You know, and I just need to remind this Honorable House, Madam Speaker, that when the national debt, not the national debt, the central government debt, stood at $275 million in 1997, the Millennium Highway was almost completed. The West Coast Road was done already. The East Coast Road was done already. The Grozile Highway was done. The Rodney Weber Arena. The Fijian Island Causeway. Point Serafin. Castries Harbor. Port Viewport. Hiranuera International Airport. George F. L. Charles Airport. The government buildings at the waterfront. The CDC buildings in Castries. The Roseau Dam. Most of the schools. All the agricultural and farm roads. The water supply network. Electricity. Community centers. Playing fields. All of that, Madam Speaker, had been done during the time when central government debt stood at just over $275 million. Madam Speaker, if I'm permitted to break it down, $275 million central government debt to a population of 150,000 people meant that every St. Lucian, the child who was just born at the time, had a debt of $1,833. Today, we're not the U.S. Today, $1.6 billion. I'm just using a round figure, Madam Speaker, with a population of 170,000 means that every St. Lucian, the child who was just born, is walking around with a debt of $9,411. That's five times what it was back in 1997. But the situation is further compounded. The average interest rate on the loans, Madam Speaker, is about 6%. If the average interest rate is 6%, where does that leave us? If you have this debt and you are 3 or 4 years old, you have to wait the next 15 years before you can get a job, if you can find one. And to begin to pay this debt at 6% interest, it would, for 15 years, that would be another 9,000 added to the other one that you had before. Which means that we are in a very bad situation financially. Madam Speaker, to further explain the situation, the previous administration borrowed as if there was no tomorrow. And I will tell you, there are 20 bonds floating on the market, and we have over $300 million that is not covered by any sinking fund. Which means that when these bonds mature, and so my people can understand, the sinking fund is if you borrow $100 million over a 10-year period, you put $10 million aside every year, so at the end of 10 years, you have $100 million to pay back. I am explaining it in the terms that my people can understand. This is the concept of the sinking fund, to have the money there when the bonds mature so that you can pay. What has happened? What has been happening, Madam Speaker, is a situation where you have $300 million and when it matures, how will we pay? We reissue. We pay the interest and the principal is never touched. Five out of the 20 bonds, nine have no sinking fund. Five do not require sinking fund. And six of them have sinking fund to cover them. The central government debt, Madam Speaker, World Cup 2007, $56 million borrowed at an interest rate of 5.25% for the STEP program. $3 million was borrowed at an interest rate of 8% to run the STEP program. St. Lucia, for the cricket stadium, two loans were taken. one from FinCo, 13 million at 10.25%. In fact, both from FinCo. Or today they have been converted into one loan taken over by one of the banks here. 10.25% in interest. Madam Speaker, we found ourselves in a situation where we actually had to be borrowing to deposit on a loan. So for St. Lucia to make its deposit, you had to borrow. We have to manage this economy in a way, Madam Speaker, that will not take us to the jaws of the IMF. And that is why we need, you cannot have a situation. Here we are with poor implementation. Persons describe it, it's bad. Low implementation, it's bad. But you see, the situation is, what we had happening is central government debt grew by leaps and bounds during the last administration because they were the driving force in the economy. So when you speak about growth and the average growth rate in St. Lucia over the past 10 years, if it hovered around 2.8 to 3% on average, that is the average growth rate, but yet still all the borrowing is at 6% average. So here you have a situation where your growth is not even able to meet.
You have a point of order.
Madam Speaker, I appreciate the fact that the Minister did establish the fact that he doesn't have competency in understanding the details of what he's talking about. I just want to bring the attention of the House, and I do not want him to continue to mislead the House on the issue of debt. I want to refer him to the Social and Economic Review, the first page, where it will show that there was a percentage increase of 8.4% in debt between 2006 and 2007. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Are you saying that the member said something contrary to, in reference to these statistics?
The implications by what he's saying there is that the former administration was so fiscally responsible that they allow debt to escalate. But I am also showing to him that during the last year, when he had the management over the debt, it grew by 8.4%.
That is not a point of order.
He was misleading the House, Madam Speaker.
That is not a point of order. He gave an opinion on the statistics that he is relying on. You have a different opinion. That is not a point of order. Continue, Honourable Member.
Madam Speaker, I know there is every attempt, but I have a challenge for the people of this country. There are persons who know finance better than I do, and I challenge any of the accounting firms, anybody out there, to come and prove otherwise. Go on one of the talk shows and prove that we have not doubled from where we were 10 years ago in terms of debt, and whether there is growth sufficient in this country to measure the debt that we have accumulated. Yes, we can borrow. You can borrow in excess and have 10% growth in the economy. But when you do this, who bears the load? We have a responsibility, Madam Speaker, to the next generation that is coming. And the previous administration acted in an irresponsible manner to move central government debt to GDP from 17% to over 50%. That is reckless and irresponsible. And I want anybody to prove that this is not the debt situation in St. Lucia today. And so we talk about prudent management of the economy. There has not been prudent management. And I explained, Madam Speaker, I don't know whether the member for Sufre did not hear what I was saying, but Madam Speaker, the point is that some of the debts we incurred, I explained, was to pay for the debt that the previous, some of the loans that we have to take was to pay for debt that was incurred by the previous government. And we have to continue. The Ministry of Communications and Works Building, Madam Speaker, at the end of 15 years, will cost the people of this country in excess of $45 million. I want anybody to value it and tell me without the land whether it will be worth the investment. We have all of the police stations and all of the fire stations with all the rentals coming in, all of the moratoriums. All of the moratoriums given, and I'm glad you mentioned the Dyer building. Madam Speaker, I, as the parliamentary representative, I would buy 3 Dyer building for $27 million. Rather than pay $46 million for the Ministry of Communications and Works Building. And you know why? Because there's more floor space than the 3 government buildings put together, which comes with an additional 10 acres of land and $3 million to pay NIC for the people whose NIC had not been paid. So when we talk about investment, and prudent financial management and being able to make decisions, we have to know that we have to know what we are doing. And I am saying to you, Madam Speaker, that the previous administration did a poor job in the management of the finances of this country. And the only way to bring St. Lucia out of the deep hole that it is in, is to have substantial economic growth. Now, Madam Speaker, let me just say here, I know 7% is ambitious. I know it is a tall order. But no easy measures will take this country out of the deep hole that the previous administration put it in. No easy measures. So it is a matter of the people of St. Lucia rallying together. And we need the support of the opposition to take the government out of the situation that it is in.
Honorable members, it's a bit too much distraction. If you have a point of order or you wish to interrupt to ask the member to elucidate, you can do so. But otherwise, allow the member to make his contribution.
Madam Speaker, as I move on, it is serious times. And I concur with all those who have gone before me. But no 2-3% growth will take St. Lucia out from where it is today. Because when you pay in loans at an average interest rate of 6% and your debt to GDP is in excess of 60%, and there's a lot of hidden debt, you know, Madam Speaker. The previous administration found ways to hide the debt because it comes in as a one-line entry because it's rental. So while we in actual fact have a debt of $46 million on the Ministry of Communications and Works Building, every year it comes in as $3 million. And all the policy, all the programs under the Bolt arrangement is in the same situation. So if we have to add up all of this debt, I mean, when I check the records of SLASPA, in excess of $110 million in debt. And yet still we have an unfill created to siphon money out of SLASPA by handling the core businesses that SLASPA should be handling and getting a 15% of that. We call that financial management. Madam Speaker, as I looked at the situation and I realized what was happening, I realized we needed a rescue in the Ministry of Communications and Works because this seemed to have been the place where the most money was siphoned. And I am in this ministry, Madam Speaker, and I know in time I will take my criticisms, but I will take them because I intend to do the right job for the people of this country who elected me to look after their affairs. And so I am saying, Madam Speaker, when we look at the situation where on the Soufra Viewfort Road, Madam Speaker, they told us 99.6 million. Some of the records are showing that's in excess of $130 million, Madam Speaker. In excess of $130 million. Now, note, we have one common denominator in all the major cost overruns in this country, and that is Ziwi. Everywhere on RDP-free, on RDP-free, Madam Speaker, a contract was awarded for $23 million. It ended up at $54 million. The one common denominator is Ziwi, is the consultant. And the same Ziwi, with all of this management, gets a direct purchase of $2 million plus dollars to still supervise the Castries-Grozile Highway from a government who knew what was happening. Was there a conspiracy, Madam Speaker? I guess time will tell us what happened. I guess time will tell us. I want to assure the contractors of St. Lucia. You see, what happened to them, Madam Speaker, is a situation where they were put out of the league to tender on jobs. They were disqualified before they got an opportunity to tender because the bars were set so high. None of them could meet it. You must have a turnover of $5 million for the year. When the government know they're only giving the contractors $1 million worth of work. So they knew our local contractors could not qualify. And I've spoken to the Minister of Finance, Madam Speaker. We must lower the bar. And we must make it possible so that the local contractors in this country can qualify to get the jobs. And how we are going to do that? We are going to give them the same concessions that we are giving to the foreign contractors. Because the foreign contractors come in, they get duty-free on everything, and they want to employ our locals, and the locals have to work the duty-free price, but the locals pay the duty for everything. What unfairness, Madam Speaker, to our locals. We gave them no chance to survive. And I'm saying in this budget, Madam Speaker, we are going to give our local contractors the same incentives that we give to the foreign contractors so they can increase on their fleet of vehicles, their equipment, and they can better deliver for the people of St. Lucia. Because when the money stays in St. Lucia, we benefit more from it. We talk about managing the economy. We talk about inflation. Madam Speaker, this government subsidized fuel for a year in excess. And let me not say subsidized, for sake of being challenged. And we forgo in excess of $15 million in revenue on fuel to keep gas at a price that the people could afford. When we could not do anything more, Madam Speaker, to absorb, and we increase the price of fuel, we subsidize the transportation sector so that the average mother who has two children to go to school will not have to worry about paying an increased bus fare. Added to that, Madam Speaker, the Minister of Education indicated we are subsidizing the school children. We are subsidizing flour. We have done a number of things to help cushion the full effects of the global crisis that we are faced with. So it's not a matter whether government has not done anything. And we talk about food security. And I must compliment, we should talk about it. I must compliment the Minister of Agriculture, Because when I see the amount of bananas that is planted in forests here these days, I know I will not serve. And a lot of people in St. Lucia will not serve. You know why? Because if the crisis comes to a point where there is no food, we will eat what we grow. And we will grow what we eat. When the Minister of Commerce said that, some people took him to task. Oh, he going and tell people to manage prices, go and plant kitchen garden. It's not kitchen garden to manage prices. Madam Speaker, we are faced with a tough situation. And that is why I believe we need a coming of the heads together. And I agree. I agree that the Prime Minister should call a joint sitting of the House where we can sit down and discuss the issues and get the involvement of the opposition in dealing with the matters. I'm not getting on, Madam Speaker. We have to speak to the issues of bad management because le bab kamawadu fui dife usipo zeuze sao sayo kadino, Madam Speaker. Se gadese le zopeia. Dominica is 100% debt to GDP. Grenada, all of them. But you see, we cannot compare ourselves with the others. St. Lucia have always done better in the past. And we should stop comparing ourselves with them and say, we didn't know what the IMF did in Dominica. We didn't know what happened in Jamaica. Let me tell you, when a patient is sick, Madam Speaker, you do not want the medication of the IMF. And before the IMF can set foot in this country, the people, the citizens, the government, the opposition, everybody must come together, unite our efforts, and rise to the challenge. I call on the public service, Madam Speaker, to combine their efforts with the government to see to it that we can implement the program. If the investors come, let us implement the program. And we will be judged.
And remember, you have 10 more minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We will be judged at the next budget by the performance. But those on the government side alone cannot make it happen. And this is not politics, Madam Speaker. This is about St. Lucia. This is about the crisis situation that we have found ourselves in. I agreed in the glory days we did not save as much under the previous UWP administration, and under the Labour administration we did worse. But now is not the time that we should try to politicize the situation. I have to bring it, Madam Speaker, I have to bring it to reality that we did not get there overnight. We didn't have 0.5% growth overnight. It happened over a period of time because what we had was superficial growth. It was not real growth. Real growth is when you can pay your debt. You know, Madam Speaker, let me draw an analogy. You owe in the bank some money on a wooden house. But you have a board that is a bit rotten. It has a hole. You have the money to pay the bank or to change the board. Will you change the board and not pay the bank? And tomorrow the bank come and take the house and you have neither the house? It is better to have a house with one bad board in it than to lose it at all, than to lose it entirely. And what I saw that was happening is we had an administration, Madam Speaker, who was trying to make us believe that there was real growth. But all they were doing is borrowing, borrowing, and borrowing more. And the evidence is there, Madam Speaker. We have to borrow. We have to borrow. And we have to grow the economy to match the borrowing. And that is why we are saying we need a joint effort from the public service, from the investors, from the government, the opposition, so that we can recognize the growth and begin to reduce the margin between debt to GDP. We must seek to find ourselves at least back to the 60% mark within these 5 years, within the next 4 years, of this government, Madam Speaker, our aim is if we can go back to the 60% mark, I think we would have accomplished a great task. But this government cannot do it alone. We would have to join our efforts together and make it happen. And so one of the ways to make it happen is to become more productive as a country, to use more of what we produce. I see too many of these bottles of water, Madam Speaker, right here in this honorable house. When we have taken a decision within the ministries and PSEs have been directed that everything that is available locally, buy local. That is what we are preaching. So if it's chemical that's made locally, buy chemical to clean the floor, because the money circulates in the economy and it remains in St. Lucia. We have too many rivers to be importing so much spring water into this country. And there's something I want to touch on, the CARICOM issue. We are forced to buy in CARICOM at higher prices. But when the crunch comes and the prices are higher at in other areas, CARICOM will choose to sell to other areas other than selling to us. Is it really a shortage of rice? No, these are the realities that we are faced with, Madam Speaker. And the Prime Minister will have to raise this issue. Is it really a shortage, or is the price more attractive in other areas? Because if we support each other during the crisis, there are lots of countries not producing bananas. In the region, they'll have to start buying our bananas if it's bananas we produce. Because the region must get together so that we can cushion the shock of what is happening around us in the rest of the world. And so, Madam Speaker, as I seek to close my presentation today, I want to assure everyone in this honorable house that as the Minister in Ministry of Communications and Works, I will do everything possible to see that projects are implemented within time and within budget. And I must say, the same staff are there, but I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them today because we have been able to cut cost overruns by more than 80%. I don't know what was happening before, but the honorable members talk about it. There will be cost overruns. There will be cost variations. My problem is when cost overruns begin to go in the 100 and 150 and 200%, that is when it raises the alarm. And so, Madam Speaker, I will continue to work for the betterment of this country. And I will seek to do everything. And I want honorable members to know, we may not be able to fix all of your roads. We will do the best that we can. But rather than borrowing too much to fix roads, we may have to endure a few bad roads for a year or two. These are concessions that we would have to make. We will not be able to do everything that everybody wants us to do. But I promise you there will be equitable distribution to both the opposition and the government side. And I will continue to work together with members opposite. When you send me your project, I assure you, I will not go and speak to other parliamentary representatives than the elected ones. I will work with you, and I will work with my colleagues on this side, and we will do what we have to do. But we must tighten up, and I'm calling on all St. Lucians, Madam Speaker. Let us join our efforts. Let us be productive. Let us not waste time on the job. Let us do what we have to do and do it well. And together we can rescue St. Lucia and make it a place that all of us would be happy to live in for the next 100 years. I thank you.